Hello, everybody, and welcome. Yes, welcome to season 5. We are glad to be here and we are happy you are with us. So today we're going to be talking about touristy things to do in our home states. One person talks about his, that's Noah's state, and I talk about my adopted state. It'll make more sense, I swear, when you listen to the episode. So we'll be talking about Wisconsin and Oregon, and these are the things that we would suggest if you came to these states. So yeah, a little bit interesting considering they are states that maybe people may not go, hey, I'm gonna go visit. But maybe, just maybe, you should. So, here we go.
Hi, this is Noah.
Hey, it's Kimberly, and this is
the To-Do List.
Hey, so we are here, yes. And we are technically, though season 4 was a little
No, it wasn't.
Season 5.
I enjoyed season 4 immensely.
We hardly did anything.
No, we did things. We just did too much, so we were never in the same space at the same time.
You know what it is? It's the world opened up, and we went hog wild.
But we separately.
Are here. Yeah, separately. But we're back, babies. And we are here for season 5. And we kind of want to start it with something that's a little near and dear to us. Well, it kind of is.
I'm thinking of near, like, in terms of, like, mileage.
Oh, no, I don't mean like that. So everybody's born and they're raised somewhere.
No, I was actually hatched.
Okay, whatever. And they're raised in a certain place. And, you know,
I was raised by wolves.
I don't doubt that sometimes. But, but, yes. So, we're going to be talking about if you come to our home, I'm putting this in quotes,
air quotes,
state, what you should do. Now, I say quotes for me because I actually was born in California. But a lot of the main things that I did when I had a car or was able to actually go out and do things was in Oregon. So near Portland, Oregon. So it just makes sense for me to do that rather than doing San Francisco because I really don't. I've been to San Francisco.
More than one time.
More than one time. I think we already did a podcast. Didn't we already do an episode on that? I don't even remember. He remembers everything I know. I kind of go, let's do this. And he's like, we already did it.
Did it's been a whirlwind.
Did we?
Oh, girl.
I know.
Oh, girl.
So, I have been there, and I enjoy it, but I'm speaking for Portland, Oregon more, and this is just the general area that the Portland area is about. I don't even know, but there's like a suburban area that encompasses the Portland metro area, because what people don't realize is Oregon is a big state.
It is.
And beyond that, it's very diverse as far as topography.
Yeah, you got the right word. Were you doubting your word?
Have a hard time saying anything over 3 syllables. Ever since I was a little girl, this has been a problem.
Oh,
anything over. No, I knew the word. Anything over 3 syllables, I have a really hard time saying, and it's been there since I was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if you were like, did I thinking in your head? Kimberly, did I choose the right word?
Or no,
were
I knew you like, it was the right word.
Did I pronounce
like,
it right?
Did I say it right?
You did.
Because I have a hard time with that.
Season 5.
Season 5,
season
baby.
Five,
topography.
Baby.
Topography. So,
Temporada 5. Oh my gosh. We're going to do an entire episode in Spanish. Oh my gosh.
One day. No. Never. I would never. I mean, no, I love Spanish. That just wouldn't be fair.
Hay muchas palabras que yo no sé.
Yeah. But, so, yes. So, basically, I'm keeping it all over. Whatever.
What?
I'm just saying, because the thing is with Oregon, everybody thinks of the Portland metro area.
Oh, okay.
And Oregon is so much bigger than that, that actually most of the state, just to let y'all know, is actually dry and desert. So you're thinking of the Portland metro area where you think of the green trees and Mount Hood area and places like that, where actually most of the state is really dry and desert.
So two things came up for me. Yeah. One is you denied California. California is
crime. I don't deny
right
California.
Now.
California is where I was born and raised to an extent.
For the purposes of recording this, I feel you should have had to do both states.
That's a lot.
I know.
I could have, but that could be a lot of me.
The penalty for moving
around.
Well,
if we haven't done an episode of California, we could do it.
Girl. Anyway.
Is that a yes or no? Did we?
That's a yes.
We did.
Yeah.
Topography.
I can actually give you.
There you go.
I'm actually. I'm. I don't want to bet.
It's so hard.
Because I don't bet you.
So many, and it's a whirlwind, so there you go.
But I don't bet you.
If we already did an episode in California, which
no, it wasn't the entire state. No.
I didn't travel around the entire state. I basically was in San Francisco or the Bay Area, so it just wouldn't make sense. So there you go. So I gave a spoiler of where I'm talking about. How about
you? There's no spoiler with me. Because I only have one say. Well, that was A. First of all, A was California, you denied them. That's A.
B, I did not.
Well, anyway. That's either here or there. You could have done both, but you chose. It was like a Sophie's Choice situation up in here. But then the second thing. Well, I'm being 100% sure, and I'm doing that while you talk. Just because, yeah, my brain does too, but I remember it. I remember talking about, oh my gosh, season 2, episode 15. I turned to it literally as I went to it. Season 2, episode 15.
There you go. So you can listen to that if you would like to know about my home state, my actual home state, though. I probably spent more years in Oregon than California. I spent more years in Oregon than California.
Please, you probably spent more years in New York. Anyway.
I don't know about that.
At any rate, my state, I don't have this debate. But my second thing that showed up for me, first was Kimberly had to choose a state. She's chosen. Her poison. Second thing that showed up for me is Kimberly mentioning most people think in Oregon, like, Oregon's a big state. Also, most people say Oregon sometimes.
Oh, gosh, I forgot about that. I mean, when I hear it, I'm just like,
you're triggered.
It's not Oregon or Oregon. It is like your heart's an organ. So it is Oregon. Just for all my fellow Oregonians out there, I'm here for you. Because
people do this.
Yeah, they do a lot. It's Oregon.
It's probably akin to saying Arkansas instead of Arkansas. At any rate.
Nobody says that.
Some people do. I've heard it. That being said, my state, I don't have the debate, but like Kimberly had mentioned for Oregon, it's a big state. She focused, from my understanding, I think I understood what you said, which you didn't stick mainly in Portland. You went around a few places.
A little bit, yeah.
I did the same. And I think the fact that we both approached this, because we talked about what we were going to do, but I think I approached it a little bit differently than Kimberly did. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we both are going outside of the main cities, Portland, I feel, is the thing. When you think of Oregon, you think of Portland. Mm-hmm. When you think of Wisconsin, I think most people think of Milwaukee, but some people will think of Green Bay, and some people will think of Madison. So I'm not sure. Because of the three, Green Bay is the smallest of the three. However, I when I think of Oregon, I do think of Portland. That's the first thing.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to think. I would think in Milwaukee, possibly Madison, just because it's the capital.
Right, but I think you think of Milwaukee because you deal with travel a lot.
Nobody, and that's the airport.
Okay. Well, no,
some people do, but not for what. Yeah.
What you have to worry about travel for. Yeah. But Green Bay is known because of the football team.
Of course.
And Milwaukee is known because of the baseball team and the basketball team.
And beer. Yeah.
Well, of course, there's beer. Well, I'm not getting into beer. We're not. This is an episode on beer because Kimberly's beer repertoire or expertise is not as strong, I guess, as mine. If you want to call that a strength. At any rate, I approach it the same way, and I think it's indicative of the way Kimberly and I approach travel, mm-hmm. and that when we go somewhere. Now, we've evolved into, to harken back to another episode, Evolution of Travelers.
Yes.
Yes. We now kind of think it's important to see another city other than the big city,
yeah.
if that makes sense. So for, Kimberly will give us some other than Portland, as she's kind of alluded to, and I know me, I'm actually definitely giving you other than Milwaukee. So, because that is the largest city in Wisconsin. So, we are approaching it in that way. It's indicative of how we are, that we like to see more than just one city in a state. Because we think that one city should not speak for the entire state.
Yes.
You agree?
Correct.
And we approached it the same in that way. Should I go first or you should go first?
I guess I'll go first.
Okay.
Because this one, I am going to start in Portland. And what I'm with this is not really a specific place so much. Because I feel like when it comes to Portland, the best way to kind of see it is to eat. So, if you don't know, Portland is really big on food. It is, if you are big into eating a lot of delicious food on your travels, Portland is really well known for this. It really is a town for eating. And it's evolved quite a bit into that. It's kind of crazy. They're really big. I think they became like one of the biggest spots for food carts before it really started hitting the rest of the nation. And it's just such a foodie town now. And I think that's kind of the excitement of Portland. Of course, there's some like voodoo donut. People will say, go to voodoo. I'm going to be honest with
Uh-oh.
You.
Uh-oh.
I don't think voodoo's that good.
I thought you were going to say unpopular opinion.
I think it does better with the tourists, but the people from Portland know that there's better. Though I know some people who do love voodoo just because it's been there for so long. But honestly, I just feel like it's not the best. It's just not. But there's so many wonderful bakeries and restaurants and bars. It's just changes. It's kind of a very tiny, tiny New York in that it changes a lot. A lot of different types of food. Maybe not as many as New York City, but a lot of diversity. It's just different price points. That's why I love the food carts. They have whole areas that are just food carts. And you can choose from like 50 different carts. It's just amazing. And that's around the whole Portland area. And you can also, if you're downtown, you got to check out Pioneer Square when you're bouncing around these restaurants, walking off some of the food. And Waterfront Park, of course, which is all right in the downtown kind of area. Downtown's not huge. It is spread out, but this is more of the touristy area. I would really recommend it, but I really think you would be doing a disservice if you did not try out the delicious food, because every time I go back out to visit, I want to try a different restaurant, and it's fantastic. It really is.
You're going to the largest city in Oregon first. I'm actually doing a different approach. I approach this as kind of like guiding you through Wisconsin as though we're taking a road trip. Mm-hmm. Fun fact about Wisconsin. You know I love to throw out fun facts.
I know you do.
Fun fact, Wisconsin is actually the leading producer of ginseng in the United States.
Oh, Korea would love that.
Who knew? Who knew?
Koreans live for that. That's interesting.
And so just like you had an unpopular opinion about donuts, what's it called again?
Voodoo. Donuts, yeah.
Yes. Unpopular opinion about voodoo donuts. My unpopular opinion is going to be to start the NOAA road trip in Wisconsin. You should fly into Madison. Mm-hmm. So I'm not having you fly into the largest airport, which is MKE or Milwaukee, but I will say, Madison's airport, I've flown there a few times, and I've actually been impressed with what they've been doing to develop it. It's cleaner, less flights, and their lounging areas are nice. So, but there are not necessarily as many options for, like, food or lounging, or if you get, like, canceled flights or something for connections. It's basically going to go through Chicago, although I have had some directly from Newark, New Jersey to Madison. So they are upping their flight game. That being said, for the NOAA road trip through Wisconsin, I would recommend you fly into Madison. And the reason why, Kimberly had mentioned state capital, and it is, I like the layout of the capital. I mean, when I'm driving downtown entering Madison, it's on a main drag, and the road leads to it, and you're going right for it. And it's designed in the Roman Renaissance style, and it's actually the only granite dome in the United States of America. State Street is a popular place to go. There's a lot of beer to continue on with the common theme between our two states. There's a lot of dining options, a lot of bar hopping options. They also have a large lake there called Lake Mendota, and a large university of Wisconsin is in Madison. So what I like and what I think that brings to Madison is a nice young energy and a thirst for knowledge. I've been around to a number of states, I've noticed that something I liked about Seattle and something I liked about Boston is I kind of like the university vibe. Mm-hmm. Even though it shifts in the summertime because a lot of students go from once they came, I like that energy. I think it's a nice mix of more mature people and younger people. I like that energy. Also, I would argue that University of Wisconsin brings a lot to Madison in terms of athletics. It also has Memorial Union Terrace, which is a place you can visit right on Lake Mendota. And they also have Henry Vilas, I want to say, Zoo, which is a zoo right there close to Lake Mendota, where you can visit the animals if you're into that kind of thing. So I feel like Madison is it's decently sized, so there's a lot of options, but yet it's not so large that it becomes oppressive. So I think that there's a lot of historic opportunity there, but I also think there's good dining opportunity, good socialization opportunity, and that would be my starting out point for a trip to Wisconsin.
There you go. So, if you are in Portland, you got to take a day trip. Let's just say you don't have a lot of time, but you want to take a day trip. The perfect day trip outside of Portland would be up along the gorge, unless it is the winter, and then I'm going to tell you no, because that road to the gorge always closes down. I think it's I-84. I'm almost positive it's I-84. It's terrible. Because basically you're going up along a huge, like, river. And what it does is there's a lot of wind because the way that the land is together. And whoo, the wind chill's crazy. It snows a lot. That pass is always covered during the winter. So just check the weather. Make sure it's been cleaned up before you go. I actually wouldn't recommend it as much because it's going to be really cold. But during the nice months, oh, it's lovely. You can go on the river. Like, people go on this. You know, what is it? You're on a board with the sail. Oh, I don't know what you call those. I would never do it. That's why I don't know. Parasailing? Is that what it is? Yeah, I wouldn't touch that. So, but a lot of people will do that, but the water's pretty rough, so you got to be careful. But it's such a beautiful drive, and where you are heading to is Multnomah Falls. Yes, I recommend this to pretty much everyone, just because you've seen it. You may not know you've seen Multnomah Falls, but you've seen pictures of it, you've seen paintings of it, you've seen it on TV, you have seen Multnomah Falls, and we'll put some pictures up of some of these places. But it's just a beautiful display of what people think of when they think of Oregon and the green nature of Oregon. And it's just this beautiful drive. It's probably about an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes outside of Portland, depending on weather. And you just get this beautiful scenery of the water and the trees. You get to pass one of my favorite bridges there, which is the Bridges of the Gods, which was a Native American type thing. People from two different tribes or something, of course, falling in love. They couldn't be together, so they basically created this bridge. And that's why it used to be two separate colors. I don't know if it is any longer. A little bit of history for you. And then you drive up to Multnomah Falls, and it is just, it's simple. You have to climb, you can walk to it and just see it from afar, or you can actually climb up like the stairs and see more, or hike around it, but you don't have to. It is accessible for most people, but it can get a little bit muddy and things, so just be prepared. But even still, it is just so pretty to look at. It's just, it's really high falls. And it's just the flow of the water coming down, especially after winter when things are melting off. It's just absolutely beautiful. I love it there. I've been there so many times. It's kind of one of those places where you're like, I mean, and I don't condone this, but hey, want to cut school? Yeah, let's go to Multnomah Falls. And so maybe I may have done that.
You condone it. Who are you kidding? You condone
it. I may have done that.
You condone it.
And so you go, and you just have a great day out at Multnomah Falls. But also, if you want to add a little bit more, there is an area, like a vista, that's up on this high like cliff that basically is an observatory. And you can see like meteor showers and stuff up there. It's a little bit of a windy road, a little bit unnerving, but if you want to brave it, I have been up there. It's really cool, gives you an amazing view, but the wind is really strong up there. And there's times where I could throw myself up and it would actually throw me back a couple feet. It was pretty intense. But you can also see the observatory up there if you have a car, really the only way to access it. And just call it a nice little half day. It's a nice little half day trip. And then you can get back into Portland and have a delicious meal.
So, two things. You were right. It is 84.
Yep. Oh, I know.
Second of all, did you cut school? And go.
I plead the fifth.
Okay, that's fine. You can plead the fifth.
Well, you're not going to take my diploma away.
Yeah.
Yes, I did it.
Who's going to come after you? Like, really? Like,
I know. They're going to take it away. Shake their fist at me. No, I went.
Yeah, I was just like.
I was also hanging out in Portland eating delicious food when I should have been in school.
And you probably also took the Max, but that's neither here nor there.
No, we drove.
Oh, okay, good to know. So, my next stop after Madison on the NOAA road trip. You see how we did this differently. Oh, you did day trip. Mine is kind of a tour. And I feel like I'd be disrespectful if I didn't say this one. But I'll drop in the fun fact first. The fun fact, according to WisconsinHistory.org, is, according to Wisconsin lore, Wisconsin contains more ghosts per square mile than any other state in the nation.
There's no way to prove that.
I didn't say it was scientific. It's a claim. That's what I'm saying. Okay, but it's ironic, because I had that factor after I decided where stop number two was on the NOAA road trip. Mm. And stop number two is an hour and 11 minutes from Madison to my home city of Horicon. And the reason why I'd be remiss if I... because I... Portland, do you claim Portland as the home city in Portland? Okay. And so we've already claimed yours. mine I'm claiming HorrorCon because that's what it is. There's no place really close enough by that I'm going to claim it's anywhere else. The irony is, we one time were on this TV show called Unsolved Mysteries because there was a quote-unquote haunted house in our town. So technically, that fun fact like played in well. But I knew where I was going after Madison on my road trip before I found that fact. So it just worked for me, for the crafting of this episode. The reason why I'm... The reason why I'm saying go to HorrorCon is not to say, oh, go see my house or anything like that. It's because of the HorrorCon Marsh. The marsh there is the largest freshwater cattail marsh in the United States. It's renowned for the fall Canadian geese, and the migration can be as many as 200,000. You can see pelicans, egrets, eagles, cranes, and it is preserved both by federal and state agencies. While you're there, you can hike or pedal. It's open to the public during the daylight hours, and one of the things I've known that they've done started up recently in the winter is like a candle walk. So they put candles on the side of the path in the holders, and you can walk along in the winter because, you know, what do you do in winter in a marsh, you know? It's kind of like what the Brooklyn Botanic Garden does here in New York, where they've started a light show. So it's these places that really do well in the summer months and the spring months, seeing what they're going to do in the winter. And Wisconsin winters are brutal. I would say they're worse than New York winters.
Oh, yeah.
So what they do give you cocoa, and you can go to the HorrorCon Marsh Center where they have information about the area, but then you can go along a little candle walk. That being said, the marsh itself does draw many, many visitors during the fall, especially, but also in the summer and spring. So winter really is that downtime, and that's kind of why I mentioned that candlelight walk, as you will. But that would be my next stop, an hour and 11 minutes from Madison. I would go to HorrorCon the Marsh, and that's to give kind of like the, I would say to give a little bit of the natural aspect of the state, because I think that that's something that every state has a little bit different in terms of topography, to use Camberley's word. But also what's interesting is practically all the natural lakes in Wisconsin have resulted from glaciers. And that is something I learned about the HorrorCon Marsh that I knew even growing up there, because I did a report on it at one point, and to see how the glaciers formed the land there. If you're into that sort of thing, hey, then that's... I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, because I have to give my props to my quote-unquote home. So that would be my next stop on my whirlwind of Wisconsin.
There you go. So this one is, let's say you've been to Portland a few times, or you have like 7 days there, and you're Portland's long. It's a long time to stay in Portland. I'm going to say that. It's a medium-sized city. It has about 550,000 people, a little over half a million.
Even with the day trip, it's a week's a long time.
It depends what you want to do. I mean, there's plenty of different neighborhoods to visit, but for me, I think Portland's great, but you got to get out of there if you really want to see more of Oregon. And this is the beautiful thing about Oregon, is it's so different. Like I said, you have desert, you have mountains, you have the city, you have coasts, you have farmland, tons of farmland. But going to the coast, this is something that people do all the time. It's like, oh, let's go to the weekend. It's the weekend, let's go to the coast. Now, this can mean many different things. There's many different places to visit. You can go to basically all the way up along the coast. Long stretches of different cities, like Astoria, Tillamook, which it smells like cow poo. Because you may not know why, Tillamook cheese is really big in Portland. It's like a huge, it's everywhere.
It's pretty big out here, because I can go to our grocery store here in New York and get some
cheese. Yeah, it's one of the biggest cheese brands that you can get in the U.S., which, as you know, Wisconsin probably has the rest of them.
Don't hate on my cheese.
Oh, no.
California probably has a lot, too.
I think it's Oregon, California, and Wisconsin are kind of the big providers. A lot of cows in Tillamook, and you will know when you're going through Tillamook, because it smells like cow... gas. Yeah, it smells. So, there you go. So, I wouldn't necessarily...
Do you mean to say cow farts? Is that what you were trying to say?
Maybe. Okay. Okay. So, what we'd always do is close our windows and turn off all the circulating air, because you knew you were hitting Tillamook. But there is beach near there.
So. I was actually surprised you didn't give me a burp kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. So, it's pretty bad. But I don't know if I would recommend Tillamook. The favorite ones that most people tend to go to are Lincoln City, Seaside, Cannon Beach, and Newport. And it just depends what you're looking for. Depending on which beach you choose, they could be about an hour and a half to 2 hours out from outside of Portland, so not that far away. And if it's off-season more, you can get some really great deals on hotels. On season, it's going to be a little bit crazier. I'm not going to go through all the beaches. That would take forever. But like if you're big into gambling, you can go to Lincoln City. They have really good molasses bread there in this famous breakfast place. Shout out to that. I'm not going to tell the place because then I'll never get a seat and it's hard to anyway. But you can look it up. And there's Newport, which is a little bit more quirky, a little bit larger of the cities. Nice view of bridges. You can see seals there. Seaside is has a little bit more to do as well. It's a little bit of a younger crowd, mixed with some older, but it brings in a lot of tourists and a lot of, because there's arcades and things there. And there's the big one that everybody I think knows, and that is Cannon Beach. So if anything's ever filmed in Oregon, specifically a beach scene, specifically something like, I think it's Beyond Goonies, but Goonies was the big one that put it on the map, and in that you will see that they are at Cannon Beach, and there's the big haystack rock that is very, very famous. Now, I will say if you're staying, Cannon Beach and Seaside are very close to each other. So it just depends. If you want more, I mean, everything closes early there. Don't fool yourself. But if you want a more busy day, Seaside's perfect for you. But you want a more quiet night or a quiet beach, Cannon Beach is more tame, docile, maybe less to do. But if you want to have your own room and just be calm, it's great. Just beware on that stretch on 101, that Bandage Man exists.
I thought it was Cannon Beach Man. I was going to ask that question.
Bandage Man. Bandage Man is...
You need to tell us more about Bandage Man, because I'm not from Oregon.
He is folklore.
No, he's real.
He's real.
Have you seen him?
No, because he's not real.
But did you see a large rat?
That I did. I thought it was a beaver. But as a teenager, we went looking for Bandage Man, because you're dumb. That's why they die in horror flicks, right? So we were looking because he basically is from the...
Who exactly dies in horror flicks? Let's clarify that.
Well, not always teenagers.
It's not always teenagers.
You know.
You mean youngins?
Youngins. But, yeah. So we went looking for him, and it's basically folklore, I think, from the 60s, where it was a dude who died in logging, because the industry in Oregon is logging.
And it's always
one of the biggest, and he was in bandages. I mean, if you got killed, I don't know why they put you in bandages, but whatever.
They're hoping to save him.
Not if you're in a big logging accident, but you go with that. And he basically will jump into your, like, trucks and stuff and try to get you, and sometimes leave a hook or something. I don't know. He doesn't exist.
I feel like I saw that movie, and it was with Jennifer Love Hewitt. There was a hook in that.
Yeah, well, I doubt it was Bandage Man. People who've lived in Portland, I'd say 50% of people know it, and other 50% are like, what are you talking about?
Well, even, okay, let's go with the 50% that heard of Bandage Man. Do they believe he's real?
Nobody believes it, but you go looking for him.
Seriously, 0%.
It's stupid.
Oh, we are not being funded by Bandage Man.
We are not, because he doesn't exist.
We don't know that. He could be listening right now.
I know. Well, it could be some wacko who decides to make him real. Like, maybe there's weirdos like that.
Wait, so he jumps in your car and he leaves a hook in
that
thing?
Well, it's not just... No, he tries to kill you. I mean, he's not a failure. He's just giving it his go. It's usually people like making out and stuff, and you're not supposed to be doing that.
But he tries to kill you and you fail.
I don't know if he's killed anyone because he's not real. But I mean, and if he did, maybe we don't know. I'm not the expert. I just know that he is near Cannon Beach and Seaside. So
he's hanging out.
He especially likes 101 at night. So during the day, he doesn't chill. He's more of a night owl.
See,
so be prepared.
See, for somebody who doesn't exist, he has a home. He has tendencies.
He's on 101 between Seaside and Cannon Beach.
And he has tendencies.
It's a long, dark stretch there.
He's a night owl.
He is. He really loves night.
For somebody who doesn't exist, we sure have a lot of details about him.
Well, you know.
Maybe he doesn't exist anymore. Maybe his time
maybe
was the
not.
60s.
I mean, it was the 60s, so maybe that's when he was really shining, much like Mothman. And they disappeared in...
Together.
Together into the ether somewhere.
They went on a road trip. They pulled up Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, they flew off the Grand Canyon.
Together. And then Sasquatch took over the rain.
The Yetis.
Sasquatch. So... I have a fun fact for you, but this wasn't mine. This was because you mentioned cheese. Oregon actually, so I'm not discrediting Tillamook.
That's okay.
But I will say in 2023, Oregon was not in the top 13 producers of cheese in the United States. Number one was Wisconsin. Aww. They produced 200.
I just wanted to say this so I could rub it.
No, it wasn't that. I was actually curious, genuinely.
That's a roll on Columbia.
Wisconsin. Do you need to sing it? They were taught this song in school.
We were taught this song in school.
Yeah, how's it go?
Make Other Oregon great power. Rivers add power to you.
I'm swaying.
Yakima Snake and the Klickitat.
I love the Klickitat.
Canadian Northwest to the ocean so blue. It's roll on, Columbia, roll on. Okay.
No. Roll. Are they going to come after this? No. Is that like copyrighted?
Oh, yeah.
Shut up. It is not. It's a state song.
I think
song.
It was made in 2000.
It's a state song. It's a state
it's
song.
It's made in like 1918.
It's a state song. I could probably sing Oklahoma and we'd be fine. The point is...
Don't come at us. We're advertising please. You, Columbia River.
On Wisconsin. Wisconsin. We'll just sing all the state songs. That being said, Wisconsin has 297.2 million. California, your other state, was number two in the nation for cheese production. What I found interesting, and that's why I'm bringing this up, actually.
Okay, well, apparently Portland's not in the top 10.
No, Oregon. It's by state. New York is actually number five. All right. Produce 81 million pounds of cheese.
This is going off the rails.
The point is cheese. That's the point.
So enjoy a coastal town and Bandage Man.
And Bandage Man. Next. So my next on my road trip, the NOAA road trip, is after you've left, I mean, if you're going to see Bandage Man in Oregon, I guess you're going to go to the haunted house, quote unquote, in Horicon, which is on Larrabee Street. But good luck. There's been no activity since in the folklore. Not happening. So you're not going to find that. But where I'm taking you next is from Horicon, driving an hour and 23 minutes to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Of course!
Which, the reason why I take you there is, the fun fact that I have for this is, Green Bay is known, other than the home of the Green Bay Packers.
That's pretty much what it's known for.
No, it's known as the toilet paper capital of the world.
Does it smell like a paper plant then?
No, it does. I've been to Green Bay many times.
Longview, Washington. I hate to say it smells horrible.
No,
the pulp.
When I'm thinking of the two cities that I remember, I mean, New York, I'm aware of the pollution. I'm not gonna lie. But when I think of driving through cities, I'm like, whoo, the smell.
Yeah, Tillamook. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Paducah, Kentucky. Is the city. I'm going to say sorry to Paducah. Mm-hmm. It smells. It made me think of dog food, not going to lie. But that wasn't what
maybe
it was.
Maybe it's
Marina. No, it wasn't. It's just that's what I remembered as. So sorry, Paducah. The other one is actually Jefferson, Wisconsin. That one, I think that was dog food. I think I associate the two in my head because I think they both smell. Yeah. So sorry, Jefferson, and sorry, Paducah. But that's neither here nor there.
Sorry, people driving through it.
My next stop, after leaving Horicon, you may or may not, because I'm not saying that it was haunted or not, but we were on Unsolved Mysteries, so Robert Stack, I think that's his name, he said we were. Neither here nor there, you're driving an hour and 23 minutes to Green Bay, Wisconsin, the toilet paper capital of the world. The reason why I'm sending you there is the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, not toilet
Even,
paper.
Not toilet
Except
paper.
Except when COVID hit. Although maybe it would have been the place to be.
So it actually is one of the smaller venues for a football team in the NFL. That being said, it does retain some of that hometown feel. Like, they literally, there's some people who let you, like, park in, like, rando places. I mean, if you're going to the stadium because you can't find enough parking in the actual stadium, that's neither here nor there. Point is, they have a lot of opportunities for, like, eating and drinking. So even though it is not the largest city, but it definitely is larger than Horicon on my whirlwind tour of Wisconsin, that one, the reason why I say go there is because the Green Bay Packers. And if you're not there during football season, the reason why I say it is because Lambeau Field is listed as one of the top attractions in Wisconsin. It is a publicly owned nonprofit NFL team whose ownership model has community and historical significance because it's the only fan-owned team in any of North America's four traditional major leagues. And it's been owned by a community-based corporation since 1923. However, the NFL currently bans such ownership structure, and the Packers were grandfathered in. So therefore, there will never be another publicly owned team. And the only reason the Green Bay Packers retain that is they were grandfathered in by the NFL. That being said, the stadium itself has been redone. I have seen a game there. And I will say, the history of that stadium, there's something about it. Both Packers, I'm not going to say I'm a cheesehead, but I guess I own a cheesehead. And I continue to root for the Green Bay Packers. Go Pack, go. So, that being said, the two games I've seen live, one was in the Meadowlands here in the New York, New Jersey area, and the other one was in Lambeau Field, and they were both Packers versus Giants, and the Packers won both times. What I will say, there's something special about seeing Lambeau Field. If you were in Wisconsin in a non-football season, they have had events there. I know people have gotten married there. I know they do tours of the stadium. I really appreciate the history of the stadium itself. What were you going to ask something?
Mary,
I see. Yes.
Do the players then all live in Green Bay?
They, well, I would say live there during the regular season, but
right.
in the offseason they don't
right.
have to.
But
I do know Aaron Rodgers did back when he was playing with them. He's no longer with the Green Bay Packers.
I would imagine they kind of have to, but it's
because that's
I don't
a serious
know how
thing.
Big it is. It's just.
It's approximately 101,000 people.
Okay, that's not as small as I thought it was.
No.
So, yeah. That's
it's the smallest of the... it's,
NFL.
The
yeah,
NFL
you're not dealing
cities.
With freaking...
Detroit
you know,
or New York City
Chicago,
or
yeah.
Los Angeles. Like,
yeah.
it is... One, Baltimore. There, it is one of the smallest of the NFL, but it's not...
Because it's not a major city. Yeah, that's interesting.
It's not. So I recommend that just because of the history of it. You're not going to find...
It's one of the original teams.
Yes, it is.
In football, there's, I think, only three left, three or four. And boy, people are fanatical about
that. They are, yes.
They
but not the
fanatical.
Scary kind of fanatical.
No, no, they're not like the Raiders fans. And I'm not ripping on you, but they used to be, I think...
The black
not,
hole. It's still the black hole.
It's still the black hole.
Although I was told recently, I was thinking of going to see a Packers versus Eagles game in Philadelphia, and I was told that I don't want to do that. Like people warn me. Like, New Yorkers were like, nope, 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 you don't want to do that. I'm like, but I'm not from New... Like, I'm cheering for the Packers. I'm harmless. Like, they won't hate me like they hate a Giant or a Jet fan. They're like, nope, 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 don't go, don't go. So they say the Eagles have, like...
Yeah, when we would go see a game in New York, somebody, after the Packers won, they wanted Noah's Cheesehead so they could destroy it. Because they were mad.
Well,
they offered him money, but he wouldn't give it to him.
But that and a little boy wanted my cheese head too, but that was different.
Oh, yeah.
Do you need to tell that story?
And it was so sad because he was a Giants
little,
fan.
There was a little boy with his dad, I think.
Yeah.
And he said, Dad, what you saw
he
it.
Was like, I want that. I want a cheese hat. Yes, I want it. Because it's fun for a little kid. It's a slice of cheese, a chunk of cheese on your head.
And the dad said.
And the dad was like, no, son. We're Giants fans. That's not for us. And he's like, okay. And I felt so badly.
Well, if you've seen the Giants record lately, you should feel badly for that.
Yeah. Anyway. Moving on.
Moving on.
So, this one is...
I have more. Do you have more?
I do.
Okay, good. Good. This one. Go ahead.
Yep. So, there's actually two places, but I'm not going to go into... Because I was trying to choose between the two. And one of them basically is you can go mountains or you can go desert. And I think a lot of what I've talked about is mostly what is stereotypical Oregon. And I do recommend like going to Mount Hood. If you love skiing, go to Mount Hood. It's there's the lodge there. It's Mount Hood, you know. Just don't go hiking there in May because people always die there. They say do not go there because of avalanches. And there's always people who do it. And it costs people tons of money because they have to send... Cruise out to save them. Don't do it. Listen to the warnings. But of course, you know, it's just beautiful. If you like skiing, Mount Hood is where it's at. But I don't ski. I don't like the cold. So I would suggest something that actually meant a lot to me. Now, don't expect it to be like the one in China, but there are painted hills in Oregon and not as big as the one in China, but they're still there. And there's like fossils out in this area. Lots of things to do if you're there for like 2 days where you can go to like three separate areas and look at fossils, find out some history of the area. But the main thing for me, and this is just has a wonderful memory for me, is the Painted Hills. And it is in Southern Oregon. It is in the middle of nowhere, so you're going to have long stretches of nothing, but it's a great time to play music, talk with people in the car, make sure your gas tank is filled. Hotels are going to be difficult. There's not a lot out there, but there are things to do. The town we stayed in, I think there was 110 people. So this is what you're dealing with. Everything closes very early, you know, so get your food, bring food with you. You know, it's very
and make
much...
And make some good memories of the people you're with.
Exactly, exactly. And it was like, we'd sit outside. It was basically one of my other close friends who went with my dad. And it's one of the best memories that I have with them both. It was very special. No light pollution. The stars at night are gorgeous. But the Painted Hills are just absolutely beautiful. And don't do what we did. We went in July when it's summer and it's a desert. And it was like 100 degrees. But we still had a great time because the summer nights were beautiful. But you walk around and it's just wonderful. It's just beautiful because you see the different layers of all the different eras and time periods for thousands and thousands of years. And basically, you know, as glaciers do, and things cut through and it created these hills. And so you see the different colors of the different periods of thousands of years. And it's just a wonderful trip. I mean, I would probably spend about 48 hours out there. Not necessarily the Painted Hills, but there's other areas. You can go fossil hunting. That's kind of regulated. You can't just be grabbing them because it's regulated by Oregon, trying to preserve some of that. But it's just fascinating. It's just a wonderful day trip. It's more of seeing beautiful things and hanging out with wonderful people and creating memories. But I think some of the charm of Oregon is leaving the major city and going to these small coastal towns, or going to southern Oregon where you can see, like, there's caves in, you know, Medford, Oregon. Seeing these quirky things like that. There's a lot of them in Portland. And I think getting out of the main city and actually seeing the rest of the topography, yeah, word of the day, in Oregon is important, because I think people just, you know,
go to Portland and
they go to Portland. They think that's it. And, you know, even if you go to, like, the Idaho border, there's a place called Hell's Canyon that is between Oregon and Idaho. And it's huge. It's scary if you're afraid of heights and water like I am. But it's fascinating. There are so many things to do and see in Oregon, though that's about 4 or 5 hour drive. But there's
that's
tons
what I was
of things
ask.
To do. Yeah, that's 4 or 5 hour drive. And Painted Hills is probably about 2 to 2.5 hours outside of Portland. So Oregon isn't as small as it seems, especially if you're visiting from outside the country. The states in the U.S. are usually, unless you're in Rhode Island, a lot bigger than you can imagine. Because I think Portland, it's basically six and a half hours to get across.
I'd say western states.
Western states.
It seems like, yeah, I think you, when you first moved here, you're a little bit shocked at how quickly, like, we could get across New Jersey even.
Yeah,
we were going
east
to west.
That's true.
Interesting. Yeah, well, you had made a point that basically a lot of people go to Portland and they think that's it. I think that's the same for many states. Like, people will go to Arkansas if they go to Arkansas. They go to Little Rock if they think that's it.
Of course.
So, I see that similarity. That's kind of my road trip. Then you have an option after you go to Green Bay.
Oh, no.
You can either do an open jaw flight and end in Milwaukee, or you could go circle back to Madison. But what I'm recommending is making it a Noah and Camberley road trip. So I'm ending my road trip to Wisconsin, the Noah road trip. So you see how Camberley and I approach this differently. I have it fully crafted. You start in Madison, then you go to Horicon, then you go to Green Bay, and then you have an option. You can either go to Madison to fly out, you can go to Milwaukee to fly out, or you could do what Camberley would be tempted to do. Because, fun fact...
Oh, is it coming?
Camberley loves ice cream. So apparently, Wisconsinites eat nearly 21 million gallons of ice cream each year, and the first ice cream sundae was concocted in Two Rivers, Wisconsin in 1881. Ice cream. You do like ice cream, don't you?
I do like ice cream.
Ice cream. But what Camberley likes more than ice cream, I'd say, on a road trip, are these stupid things on the side of the road. Like, she's drawn into, like, I'm not trying to shade anything, really, but
that's the best part
girl.
Of road tripping.
So, there are some in Wisconsin. So, there are some in Wisconsin, and so I had choices. I could have sent her to the world's largest six-pack. That's in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Wait, like stomach six-pack or beer?
No, beer six-pack.
Oh, because I mean...
Girl. Wouldn't that be like a 12-pack? I don't know. Anyway, point is, that's in La Crosse, Wisconsin. That's way too far away from the Noah road trip. The other thing I was looking at was the Mars Cheese Castle, which is in Kenosha, Wisconsin. But I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. So then I narrowed it down to two. So after you're in Green Bay, you do have two options. One is 3 hours and 4 minutes from Lambeau Field, and the other one is 2 hours and 18 minutes from Lambeau Field. Which one would you go with? Two or three?
Hodag.
And the Hodag is 2 hours and 18 minutes from Lambeau Field.
Is the Hodag you're talking
it
about?
Is. It is. Oh. It's in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and it's on West Camp Street and Sutcliffe Avenue.
I was hoping.
It's called the world's largest Hodag. I mean, I'd argue it's the world's only Hodag.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's the only Hodag I know.
So, Fun fact, I learned of the Hodag growing up because I would go to these conferences with kids from other schools and we talk about like sports or whatever. And they talked about their mascot. And their mascot, I met somebody from Rhinelander and their mascot was a Hodag. So to this day, if I meet somebody from Rhinelander, I know their school mascot is a Hodag. Let's talk about the Hodag.
Yeah, let's talk about the Hodag.
It's apparently a cross between a dog and a frog. What? With horns and glowing eyes. And it was actually, fun fact, featured in a Scooby-Doo episode.
Okay.
The Hodag. So you could go the 2 hours and 18 minutes from Lambeau Field. That's going up north, though. So you're going away from Madison, Milwaukee. So this is option C in the NOAA road trip. That's Camberley. You would choose that.
Yeah.
Now, what I might choose, perhaps, is 3 hours and 4 minutes from Lambeau, which is in a city called Mercer. And it's on 5150 North Highway 51. It's the world's largest talking loon. This is the kind of crap you'd go for, isn't it, Tars?
The Hodag more.
Yeah, but you like talking things, and it's a loon.
I like the Hodag.
It's okay. So the loon actually has a name. Her name is Claire DeLune. Get it?
Oh, no.
Claire DeLune. And she has a fabulous singing voice and a big stage presence, and she only speaks in loon sounds, just so you know. So that's in Mercer, Wisconsin. If you need to end up this experience, so you, the listener, have a choice. To either circle back to Madison and do a round-trip ticket to Madison from wherever you came from. You could do open jaw, fly into Madison and leave from Milwaukee, because Milwaukee does have a plethora of options. It's the largest city in Wisconsin. There's an art museum there particularly that I enjoy. That's option B. And option C is to either see maybe the Hodag.
That's my goal.
Maybe the talking loon.
I need to see a dog frog.
With glowing eyes, don't forget.
With glowing eyes and horns.
And horns.
That's what I'm about.
I'm all about the glowing eyes.
The Hodag is hanging out with the Bandage Man and Mothman.
Well, the Hodag's been seen.
Yeah, they've all been seen.
Yeah, well.
People claim the Bandage Man and Mothman.
Recently.
It's funny how all this stuff was in the 60s when drugs were going on.
Well, the Hodag, I would...
That's crazy.
I hate to tell you this, drugs are still going on.
No, I know they are, but for some reason, the psychedelics were really kicking in the 60s, and it's funny how all these things were, like, around the 60s.
I like how you say, for some reason, they were kicking in. For some, like, you don't know why they're kicking in.
I know where
they're That being said, I will say the Hodag is still seen today, but it's the statue. But then again, there is a Mothman statue that we've seen. I don't know that I've seen a Bandage Man statue.
You know what? Maybe that should be my...
Golden
goal.
Life. You put that in your will that you want all your estate to be put toward building a Bandage Man statue.
I don't think it'd be that expensive.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe it's something to research.
Oh, so you're saying you have a big estate. That's
No, I don't. But I'm saying, I don't think it would be that crazy. I'm sure I could get an artist who'd be willing to work on it. You know.
Okay. Well,
you know what? Maybe that's a goal of mine.
So the
2024.
So the tour of Wisconsin from NOAA ends with the choose your own adventure, ending either Madison, Milwaukee, or with the Hodag / talking loon.
There you go. And mine is enjoy delicious food and get out and see the beauty that is Oregon, my friends, because the city's great, but what's even better is seeing those oceans, the mountains, the deserts. The trees, that's what it's about. Oregon's one of the most beautiful states. Don't waste it. Go check it out.
They don't have any of that roadside stuff?
I mean, I'm sure they do. It's just I wasn't looking for that. I mean, because there's a lot
You've
of...
evolved.
There's a lot... No, I haven't. But there's a lot of strange stuff in Portland, just in general, because their tagline is Keep Portland Weird, though Austin will say they came up with it first. But, so there's a lot of strange things in Portland in general. But, so I never had to really go looking for it because it was there every day.
It found you.
It sure did. Darth Vader.
Wait,
with
what?
Bagpipes riding a unicycle.
Okay, Darth Vader, tell that story.
So, no, he's a guy. He's still there. He basically rides a unicycle in a Darth Vader costume and has a bagpipes that blow out fire. And he rides around Portland, so
and
you can see him.
What's his goal in life?
Just moving art.
So he's not trying to make money.
I don't know what he's doing.
I'm imagining our naked cowboy.
This is yes, but there's these people all over Portland. It's just kind of normal. He's just one of those people. Yeah.
And on that note,
topography.
Season 5.
Season 5, baby.
And you're still here. And I'm talking about you, the listener. On that note, live your life as an exclamation, not an explanation.